Welcome to American Stories with Rebecca Price Janney. Today's story is about America's worst year. If you had to name the worst year in American history, which one would come to your mind? How about 1861, when the South seceded from the Union and the bloody Civil War commenced? Or 1929, when the stock market crashed, heralding the lengthy Great Depression? You might choose 1968, when Vietnam War riots, sit-ins, and the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy were tearing our country apart. Or 2001, when Islamic extremists staged a brutal attack on our nation, toppling the World Trade Center, crippling the Pentagon, and sending a plane with heroic passengers to their deaths in a western Pennsylvania field. A famous historian pointed to a different year, one that may surprise you as it did me. He said, "From the last week of August to the last week of December, the year 1776 had been as dark a time as any of the history of the country." Did he say 1776? The glorious year we celebrate, whose hallmark was the Declaration of Independence? When I taught college-level U.S. history, I told my students there are certain dates they should know as well as their own birthdays, the most important being July 4th, 1776, when the colonies declared their independence from Great Britain. 1776, a year that is sacred to Americans. How could it possibly have been one of the worst years in our history? Why did Patriot Robert Morris write to George Washington on New Year's Day, 1777? "The year 1776 is over. I am heartily glad of it, and I hope you nor America will ever be plagued with such another." Prior to that time, New England's plucky patriots had managed the British forces headquartered in Boston. They'd inflicted heavy casualties at Lexington and Concord and backed the Redcoats into a siege. Once the British headed south toward New York, however, the nascent country's terrible year truly began. Beginning with the disastrous Battle of Brooklyn in late August, the British and their Hessian mercenaries decimated the badly outnumbered, outmaneuvered Americans. The cause of independence hung by a frail thread, except for a miraculous fog that lasted as long as it took for the remaining forces to escape across the East River without waking the sleeping giants. The American army lived to see another day. However, one disaster followed another at the battles of White Plains and Fort Washington. General Washington was not at his best in these early engagements. He was indecisive at times and lost his celebrated even temper. Some called for his replacement. One of his most trusted allies questioned him behind his back to Washington's rival. Those soldiers who remained were reduced to the meanest possible level, starving, half-naked, and sick. For all their sacrifices and trouble, they hadn't even received the pay they'd been promised. Is it any surprise some deserted to the British? When Philadelphian Charles Wilson Peel joined Washington's army in early December at the Bucks County encampment, he said the troops looked as wretched as any men he had ever seen. One of them was almost totally naked. He wrote, "He was in an old dirty blanket jacket, his beard long, and his face so full of sores that he could not clean it." The man was so disfigured, Peel didn't realize this was his own brother. Washington was up against the dissolution of what remained of his army. Enlistments would be up at the end of the month, and precious few men had decided to stay with the beleaguered commander. The general wrote in a letter to his cousin, "Our only dependence now is upon the speedy enlistment of a new army. If this fails, I think the game is pretty near up." But who would enlist under such unfavorable conditions? On paper, Washington had about 7,500 men, but only 6,000 were fit for duty. Illness and freezing conditions had laid hundreds of them low. By contrast, the British had in the tens of thousands at their disposal. Added to this trial, the American Congress had fled to Baltimore when the British threatened to take Philadelphia. Two members of Congress threw their allegiance to the British. Many Americans concluded the British were far too powerful an enemy to be overcome and were resigning themselves to remain subjects of the king. Historian David McCullough said, "By all reasonable signs, the war was over and the Americans had lost." One Pennsylvania soldier, Thomas Paine, wrote, "These are the times that try men's souls." Washington, however, never gave up, nor did he give in. He knew staging a battle in the bitter cold of winter, with men in a dilapidated condition, might be considered another bad move, but he had to do something by way of winning to prove the end was not at hand. He shared a plan with a close military advisor to stage a surprise raid on the Hessians stationed at Trenton, New Jersey, on Christmas night. When he concluded, he said, "For heaven's sake, keep this to yourself, as discovery of it may prove fatal to us. But necessity, dire necessity, will, nay, must, justify an attempt." The plan was for about 1,500 men under Washington to cross the Delaware into New Jersey and march south to Trenton, arriving before daybreak. Two other units were to strike directly across from Trenton and from Bristol, Pennsylvania, from the south. A horrific nor'easter blew in around 11 o'clock, however, making the crossing through ice floes treacherous. The two supporting forces faced ice piled even higher than Washington's men and weren't able to get across at all. Washington was left to stage the courageous attack with his men alone while facing brutal conditions. Two men actually froze to death on the march to Trenton. When General Sullivan sent a message that the troops' guns were too wet to fire, Washington told him, "Use the bayonet." He was determined to push on at all events. The Germans' Colonel Rahl could not have anticipated an enemy attack on Christmas night under such harrowing conditions, and he ended up paying for his miscalculation with his life. Although Washington was behind schedule, his frozen but determined troops dispatched the Hessians in less than an hour. 21 were killed, 90 wounded, and some 900 had been captured. 500 escaped. The Americans suffered 4 wounded and 2 deaths, the soldiers who had frozen to death. David McCullough has written, "The year 1776, celebrated as the birth year of the nation and for the signing of the Declaration of Independence, was for those who carried the fight for independence forward, a year of all two victories, of sustained suffering, disease, hunger, desertion, cowardice, disillusionment, defeat, terrible discouragement, and fear as they would never forget. but also a phenomenal courage and bedrock devotion to country, and that too they would never forget. Especially for those who had been with Washington and who knew what a close call it was at the beginning, how often circumstances, storms, contrary winds, the oddities or strengths of individual character had made a difference, the outcome seemed little short of a miracle. Thank you for joining me for American Stories. For more information about America during the Revolution, I suggest my Easton series novels with Elk Lake Publishing. I'm Rebecca Price Janney.